The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The General Banter Podcast with Colin Jettis.
Right about now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul,
Colin Jettis.
It's Jettis, actually.
Jettis.
Jettis.
Jettis. Jettis. Jettis.
Fuck you. What the fuck? It's happening, people. Welcome to the General Banter Podcast on Tuesday, the 25th of October. Oh shit, one day before my birthday. The 26th of October. It's the birthday fucking podcast. Whoop whoop. What's gonna happen? Nothing. Just more talking shit. The podcast sponsor this week is, as usual, beer52.com. This is not their official motto, but I've made it up. It's basically the Netflix of beer. Are you sick of drinking shitty tins of fucking whatever sort of lager that claims it's the best in the world and it's rarely even the best in the tin at the fucking time? Do you like drinking craft beers? Do you like having a mixture of them so you're like, oh my god, I wonder what's in this week? Well then why don't you sign up to beer52.com? Colin, why have you also all of a sudden got behind it? Because we've worked out a deal where I get some stuff if you order some stuff. So with the code BANTER10, when you sign up to beer52.com, banter as in general banter, 10 as in can I have £10 off my order? So if you go ahead and sign up for the craft beer service that gets delivered to your goddamn house every month with different themed beers, it means you get a tenner off your first order with the code BANTER10. And that's all I have to really tell you. Sometimes these ads run on for about 2 minutes. That's all I'm going to say. If you want to get some craft beer sent to your house and you want a tenner off your first order, beer52.com, use the code BANTER10. And that's it. What I might do real quick is swap stands here. A professional would stop. A professional would stop this podcast right now and swap stands. But that's not how I roll. I'm going to make you pay for my mistakes. So are you ready for this? We're unscrewing one stand, yeah? This is highly professional shit. You'll be happy to know, guys, I've got a little pop shield thing on the microphone today. So hopefully the gain's up high enough where you can hear it. But it's not so high that I'm like, boom, boom, but it's peeking out in your ears. So here we go, guys. We've got a new attachment on the bottom. Did you hear the click? You probably heard everything. You probably heard the fucking breathing, all the weird shit. We are now making the final attachment to this. Here we go. This is very, very unprofessional. Okay, now I need to adjust the seat because that's about a foot higher than my fucking head. There we go. We are now at eye level recording. Hopefully that sounds good. Hopefully there's no like pops, as they say. I am absolutely exhausted. You'll be glad to hear. Probably because I've been trying to not have coffee. I haven't had coffee in about 4 days. The last time I said I was going to quit coffee, it lasted about an hour. And I was like, I don't want to drink as much coffee anymore. And then had about two or three in a row and was like, oh, why am I having an actual heart attack? Can't deal with it, guys. You know? Sometimes when you think you're like, oh man, I have a lot to do and I feel a bit, you know, a bit stressed or a bit under pressure, sometimes the worst thing you can do is flood your body with caffeine. You know, I feel like now there is a time and a place for caffeine. You know, you need to be really knackered and need to have stuff to do. And you're like, I'm going to take this one coffee to perk me up instead of me going, I'm going to load my body with coffee, then see what happens. And what all that really happens is you can't focus on anything and your brain's just going, ah. I just opened the blinds there in the office and realised how misty it is outside. Not recording this podcast as early as I would have liked. It is now 10:36 in the morning because it's been a fairly hectic few days, guys. Let me talk you through it, okay? Obviously, we had some filming last week with Phil Bailey of Aerial Skyline Photography. He may be changing his online name to just his own name, you know, because it's a bit hard to phone someone up and be like, what's up, Airline Photography? Aerial? Airline? What is it? Am I getting that right? Anyway, we'll check. We'll double check that. So here's what happened. We went and filmed with him Tuesday. Stood out in the fucking freezing cold all day. For a client to film a video. And then that night we decided, I was staying at my dad's house. We're in Belfast. Me and girlfriend Maureen and her sister were like, let's just go for drinks. So we go for drinks in Belfast. So we go into town. We go to the woodworkers. We're drinking away, having drinks. I pounded a lot of drink. You know those ones you're going, yeah, we're going out. It's quite late already. I'm going to have a pile of drinks. So I was pished by the time we even got out. It was funny because we went to her other sister's house in the Holy Land. They weren't even going out, but we're like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we just call around to her house and embarrassed her in front of all our friends? And I'll be honest, being a person that turns 30 tomorrow, turning up at a Holy Land's house full of like wee girls and like fellas and GAA tops, I've never felt weirder in my life. I was like, okay, as much as you think, you know, I'm cool. I'm down with the kids, eh? Still weird, isn't it? You know what I mean? Back to the wall. You're a bit like, all right, try not to say anything inappropriate around here, which I most certainly did, but it's all good. So we drank there and then we went out. And then unfortunately, while we were out, there was news of a death in the family of Maureen's family, which kind of will put a dampener on any night, you know. I mean, did that sound awful, the way I said that? I didn't mean that. It was, you know, it affected the night the way you would imagine it to affect a night. So we kind of sat down, had one more drink, and everyone was very sad, but also happy and reflective. Okay, so obviously any sort of plans that we had coming up have been sort of changed a bit. So the next day, I obviously had to stay up for Lavery's Comedy Club. So Maureen and her sisters and all, they all went home. Excuse me. And I had to stay up, so I was just knocking about my dad's house, trying to do some work, whatever. And then went to Lavery's. Cheers to all who came out, by the way. It was a great night. I wasn't even on, which is weird for me to go and not be on, although sometimes quite a relief. But Shane was on, and it was good crack. Dave Elliott and Alan Irwin was very funny, who I've just remembered I have to make a video for. Here's another gig you can go to if you want to wind down after the Ulster Hall. I think the 1st of November, Alan Irwin is doing a gig. Okay, I've done this thing again where I've mentioned something and I'm like, I have fucking no idea about the details of this shit. He is doing a gig, which is like a comedy sort of panel show based around the American presidential election. If this fucking computer would hurry up. But he was very funny. He had a book about mints, like recipes that you can make out of mints, which I know he had as a joke, but I was kind of looking at like, yeah, go ahead and give us a glance at that book before you shoot on there. Okay, it's called Alan Irwin's Electoral College, and it says it's at 8:00. I'm right settled into this podcast here, guys, so we might be here a while. It's at The Green Room at the Black Box, one of the nicest little venues in Belfast, in fact. Very pleasurable to go and sit in there. Very good to do a gig in, because it just holds a good amount of people where it's funny. So 1st of November, I have to make a little video for it. I would actually really like to actually get to that, so you should too, you know, wind yourself down. In fact, go to that, and then the very next day, go to Lavery's. This is your comedy breakdown, guys, okay? You go Ulster Hall this Saturday, which I haven't plugged yet, but it's going to be, you know, the crack. Like, it's going to be the biggest comedy gig of the year, as far as we're concerned. Everyone's going to be so up for it. There are under 200 tickets left, right? Which, for us, is a bit, you know, you're not like fucking Bill Burr or something, you sell out in an afternoon. It's a process. But between now and fucking Saturday night, 200 tickets, I promise you, isn't a lot. Having been at the Fringe, having done other gigs where you look at pre-sales, sometimes if your pre-sales are anything above a third, it usually means you sell out. So there's only 200 fucking tickets left. It might be less by now, but if you're going to get one, I suggest you get it sharpish, because it's payday this Thursday. You know, people will sort of try and get things last minute, and it might get to the stage where you can't get one. And that's not me bullshitting. If you want to go, do your best to get one as soon as you can, is all I'll tell you. Because there is a last minute rush of, is there tickets left? Oh my god, they're all gone. So that's all I'm saying. Go to that. Go to Alan's Electoral College and chat in a funny way about the American election, Hillary versus Trumpies, and then on the Wednesday, get yourselves the Lavery's as usual. We haven't really got a lineup sorted because it's right after the old thing, Ulster Hall. But what we might do is a General Banter podcast live, because they're always good crack, and we'll get some sweet support, and it'll be fun for all the lads. Now, getting back to the real life story, did Lavery's Wednesday night, went to Frank, had a few beers, right? Now, this is 2 days in a row drinking night, went to Frango's, which used to be a staple of ours, like, just, yep, you do, you go to Lavery's, you go to Frango's, and, you know, you start to get of a certain age, 30, and then you go, like, maybe we shouldn't be eating fucking this sort of shit after every Lavery's. We even got to the point where we're like, maybe we shouldn't drink at all at Lavery's. You know, this is turning into just an extra night out that nobody needs. So anyway, Maureen wasn't there, obviously. So, you know, the cat's away. Colin will eat chicken. So I go to this place with all the boys. We're having a right-ho laugh. And then I just went home, then I woke up the next day feeling suitably shitty. You know, I was like, I feel like fucking shit. But I have to get up. This is my second day basically on the piss. So I was like, right, gotta get up. Gotta go into Belfast. I have to buy some bits for this because I have to go to the funeral the next morning. And I go into town. And I don't know what's happened of late. This sounds, again, like another fucking humble brag type thing. But like, between the gig in Derry, where I had to take photos for about fucking half an hour with people, to Belfast the other day, I was like, has something happened? Is it Snapchat, or what? Is it putting out more videos? Is it doing vlogs or something? Where, like, every fucker sees you. Not that I mind it. I mean, it's something's working. Something's happening. You know, every fucking place I went into, it was like fucking photos of people or talking to people for ages, got in a black taxi because it was late for something to whiz up the, you know, talking to the fucking taxi man, you're at fucking header off a thing and all, and he got a photo. Just, you know what I mean? Actually, I don't know if he got a photo. Can't remember. But just all over the place. So I go into Next to try and buy a fucking coat. And very confused. Got a giant rucksack with me full of training gear and fucking laptops and everything. And there's these three schoolboys. It's hard to tell these schoolboys now, you know. Schoolboys don't look like what schoolboys looked like when I was at school, you know. These three fucking 27-year-olds come over to me. The guy's like, oh, can I get a photo? And I was like, why? I don't know why I said that. It was being a bit of a dick, probably. And he's like, oh, listen to the podcast and the vlogs and all. That's another thing. See, if someone's like, oh, I loved Iron Fighter 2, I'm like, whatever, bro. If they're like, I watch your vlogs, I'm like, cool, do you want to get a pint and come out of my house for a sleepover? Huh? So anyway, I got a photo of them chatting away, and I was just like, yeah, good times for me, just buying a fucking coat for a funeral here, guys. Banter for everybody. But they were nice fellas. Got some clothes, got a black coat, got some other shit. Traveled home, got home. You know, one of those things where I got in and I was like, and I, Maureen wasn't here when I got here because she was around at the wake. And I was just like, I feel weird right now. I don't know whether I had the cold or what the, you know, when you start to get that flu-y feeling in your body, you're like, oh, my fucking kidneys feel sore. And I'm like shaky. And I was like, I feel like shit. And then I felt really sick. And I was like, hold on a second. Now, here's the question. Was it the stinking frangos? Not the bad mouth frangos. God bless that place. But was it the late night frangos that I ate? Or was it the fact that I was starving by the time I hit apple greens? And I had a cheese and onion slice at about 7 at night, which more than likely was made at about 4 that previous morning. So I was starving. I was like, I try one of these, edit. It was literally like fucking just, fuck it. I don't know how to describe what was in the middle of this without making anyone gag. It was just like, did you ever see one of those Dr. Pimple Popper videos where they go, someone's got a cyst on their fucking back and they stick a knife in it and just go, and just a load of fucking cheesy porridge flies out. That's more or less what I ate, wrapped up in a Greggs. And them Scottish cunts, they live on that shit. Greggs is like, you know, people are like, oh, this place is full of immigrants and there's people taking our jobs. I'd be like, Greggs is fucking taking over this country. You know, every fucking crack in the wall, there's some dude selling shite pizza and just a full meal wrapped up in pastry.
All right, man, that's a fucking, that's a Sunday roast in a fucking pastry. Lovely. What do you want, man? That's a steak and kidney pie in a pie and wrapped in pastry. Do you like it?
That's essentially Greg's. The pizza's dog shit. So do you want the pizza melted, or do you want me to leave it at room temperature under this fucking display unit here until it vaguely melts? Where's the crust? Don't know, we'll just cut it in the fucking triangle. So anyway, what I'm trying to say, I am ripping the hole out of this. I felt very ill. Maureen was still at the wake. I was like, I might just fucking stay here and feel like shit to myself. She comes back. We go to bed. I'm like, okay, I feel super fucking weird. Here's how you know I'm sick, right? I am the warmest person in the world. You're probably going, I bet you are, Colin, being a fat cunt. I bet you a fucking sea lion would be warm in a house with radiators on. Mm. But I'm always warm. You know, and that night I was like, fucking just felt like shit. And was in like sweatpants and a fucking hoodie in bed, which is very unlike me. Very uncharacteristic. Here's the problem. The stuff that I'd shot on Tuesday, I then needed to have sent to these boys for Friday, like a rough cut. So I had the funeral was in the morning at like 11. I felt like utter shit. Set my fucking clock for about 6 o'clock. Woke up. Did not, you know, when you're like trying to get out of bed, like something's, like there's just something clinging on your back. Got up, go down the stairs, can't even focus my brain. I was like, right, I need to send this away. Felt really fucking sick. Went and got, this is what I had, a glass of water, and I made a green tea. That's how rough I felt. I was like, what can I drink that's warm, that isn't like a caffeine or isn't going to make me feel weird or anything? I was like, I'll have a green tea. A minty green tea. And then I was like, here's what will help me. One of those fizzy vitamin C things that turn your piss into a fucking lightsaber. Drank that. Had about 2 sips of green tea. I was like, I really fucking feel rough. And I'm sitting here editing a video. It's not even daylight yet. And I was like, Now I'd felt sick for about 12 hours at this point. So I was like, do I feel sick? Like, am I gonna be sick? Or do I just feel a bit rough? And then, you know that difference between, like, I feel sick to there's an actual surge of, like heat up your head? And then I just went in and fucking barfed. A thing I haven't done sober in many, many years. And I just went in and just fucking... No casual vomiting for Geddes. No, like...
Oh, I feel sick.
No. It's just me fucking... So grim. So then proceeded to be sick about three or four times. And then I was panicking. I was like, oh my God, what have we got here that we can fucking... Fuck. So I was like, oh my God, am I going to be sick in this church? And I just felt so rough. And then Maureen came down, she's like, and I was all fucking bloodshot in the eyes and all exhausted. And she's like, well, you just don't have to go. Like, and I was like, what? And she goes, yeah, you don't have to go to the funeral. And all, it doesn't really matter if you're sick. Like, and I was like, oh God. Cause all I could envisage was this fucking chapel somewhere that was 32 degrees and me about to barf and going like, excuse me, is there a toilet anywhere? Passing that wee bowl around. Well, I don't know if they do a collection at a funeral. That's how much I know about fucking church. Christ, the night. Chapel, whatever. Gotta watch your words around here. fuck me. So, I basically barf a couple of times. Four times, actually. Send the video away. Maureen goes to the funeral. And I'm like, right, okay. And she goes, no, just go to bed or whatever. I go to bed. This is a real long story. I'll put the foot down here. Fell asleep. For about 4 hours, complete coma. Which is obviously some sort of like, you need to get over it type of thing. Wake up, still feel rough. You know, mess around the house for a couple minutes. So, you know, just chill out. Then Maureen comes back. And she's just kind of chilling. You know, she's like, yeah, that's that over. You know, the rest of her family, I think, went to the pub. And I just kind of fucking lounged. And I swear to God, see when it got to like, you know when people talk about 24 hour bugs? I never knew that was a thing. It literally got to about 8 o'clock and I was like, oh, I feel 100% now. I feel great. So anyway, the next day I was kind of just like, I'm just going to fucking chill. It's been a hectic week, you know. Busy. Drank a lot, which I didn't need. Which would almost put me off fucking drinking from now on. All that shit. And I was like, I'm just going to lounge in the house today. On Saturday, she had a couple of makeups. Then I think she had to travel somewhere for a makeup, and then she had some other thing. So I just kind of was like, all right, work away. I'll just lounge in the house. It's something I haven't really done for quite some time. It's just like, just be in the fucking house, no work to do, you know? Watch all my shitty videos on YouTube, you know? Rappers cooking, etc. Yeah, let's watch that. Just lounged all fucking day. Then she comes back up and she's like, right, if you want to go over to my mum and dad's house, they're putting on some food tonight. And I was like, sure. Now, there was no immediate rush for anything. Do you want to go get some food? And I was like, yeah, sure. I knew there was like a pile of people down there, so it wasn't going to be like people waiting around a table for you to arrive. It was just food was available. So I was like, yeah, sure. And I'm feeling good by this stage. I was like, yeah, no problem. You know, mess around, went and did a fucking, you know, a workout in the garage, punched the punch bag for a pile of rounds, and then I was like, yeah, I feel good after just being sick. I'm feeling like shit for a few days, feel good. She'd been slagging me that I hadn't trimmed my face. I'm not going to say beard. I'm not going to give this the title of beard. She's like, yeah, you really need to shave your face. Oh, you look like a fucking terrorist. And I was like, oh, cheers. Some of those people who look like terrorists aren't terrorists, you racist bastard. So I fucking go shave my face, shave my head. And I'm dithering. Like, I am dithering like a bastard. They're like, oh, they're going to have food and go to the pub. And I was like, all right. Even though midweek, I was like, they had drank enough to put me off drinking for a long time. They're going to go to the pub. All right. I'm dithering so hard. I'm like, oh, Maureen, I bought one of those Carmax things for my lips. Have you seen it around my lips? They're stingy. You know? And she's like, no, just come on. This food's ready. She just kept bugging me. I was like, all right, for fuck's sake. So I get ready. Eventually, and we go down to her house, and I'm like, oh, don't seem to be anyone here. And they have a little section down the back of their house. This is a Saturday night, by the way. A little section down the back of their house that's they call their bar, which was essentially a little long fucking room that they lived in while they built their house. But they call it the bar because they've got a fridge in it. And they're like, go on down the bar there. And I was like, no, you go in first. Now, at this point, I feel terrible because I didn't get to go to the funeral because I was being sick everywhere. So I was like, no, I don't want to be the first one to barge in there. You know, everyone's probably having a quiet drink, sitting around the wee fire and all. No, you go in first. And she goes, why are you being weird? Just you go in. And I swear to God, we nearly had this row outside the door. And I was like, you know, I'm trying not to be a big fucking abrupt baldy cunt here and just barge through the door. Like, what's up? I was a funeral. Whoop, whoop. Sorry, I couldn't go. Where's the beer? So she's just like, con, stop being fucking weird and just go in, right? I open the door, right? Full surprise party for my birthday. Open the door, surprise! And I seen was my sister in a crowd of people and went, fuck! Boom! And just shut the door again. And I was like, what the fuck? And she's like laughing her head off. And I was like, what in the fuck is going on here? And I opened the door and walked in. Everyone's throwing fucking party poppers. My dad, my sister, her fiance, fucking, all the comedy lads, Mickey, Aaron, Shane, Dave, they were all there, you know, everyone was there, and I was like, oh my God, just completely freaking out, I was like, how is this happening? Now, I had no idea, my birthday is until tomorrow, but obviously we've got the Ulster Hall this weekend and we're busy with other things. So Maureen obviously thought, I'll do a party the weekend before. So I had no fucking clue whatsoever that this was going to happen. You know, why would I? I wasn't even thinking about my own birthday. You know, I was like, someone asked me about my birthday last week. And I was like, yeah, I might just fucking, you know, go for dinner or something stupid. You know, and then we'll use the weekend as a party. But she'd obviously organised this huge fucking surprise party, which I've never had in my entire life. And, you know, I don't know what the percentage of surprise parties that happen that the person's actually genuinely surprised, but I nearly fucking had a heart attack. And the thing was, I was starving. And there's a friend of Maureen's family, in fact, who is the dad of the people we went to Glastonbury with, Anya and Kieran. And he is famed for his hams. And he was like, oh, because I've tasted the ham before, and I was like, that's fucking incredible. So he's like, oh, I'm going to make him a ham for his birthday. So I walk in. They've got a keg of Guinness hooked up to a pump that they've borrowed off somebody. Someone hands me a pint of Guinness, and he hands me a fork with this fucking brick of ham on the top. And he's like, happy birthday. And I was like, oh, thank you. So I went from starving to just like completely fucking at a heart rate of about 120. I was just standing there and eating this fucking ham going, what in the fuck just happened there? What the fuck? So I was genuinely shocked as fuck. I felt like a wee princess, didn't I? You know, got fucking Guinness on top. Pile of beers. The food was incredible. And then it was so funny because if you look back a few podcasts ago when I was talking about trying to order a sound system off the internet and had a load of trouble like on the phone with them because they sent the wrong cables and everything. Now they needed it anyway, but Maureen's mum was like, yeah, you ordered your own fucking sound system for your own party. And then it was unbelievable because first of all, we had the party, it was crazy, and they had all these fucking decorations, and then I went up to the kitchen where the food was and all I heard was this massive cheer, and we came down again and they had this throne thing. Now obviously their like her mum and stuff had been involved in like theatre companies, so they had all these props down in their garage, and they had this like Egyptian throne that was made out of MDF, and they were like, that was there, and on top of it, it said Comedy Central, like the roast of Colin Geddes. And I had to sit in this seat, which is this is an idea that one of them had. And so Mickey and Dave and Shane and Aaron basically went turn for turn trying to roast me in this fucking thing, which I have photos of, which I'll post. There might actually be video, but the problem was Maureen stole my camera to try and film some stuff, but didn't charge it or put a new card in it or anything. So we did run out of battery and memory at one stage. So anyway, they did this roast, which, by the way, you should never feel better about yourself after a roast. It was like the most tame fucking roast. I know, you know, you maybe don't want to go full whack, but like if you give me a day to write jokes about Mickey Bartlett, I'd fucking bury him, you know? And this was all like You could see Mickey was all like, oh, yeah, I'm sort of scared. I'm going to say something. Oh, you're bald. Oh, no, but thanks for the gigs in Lavery's. And you're always like, oh, dude, got this new camera. And I'm always like, yeah, who gives a fuck, Colin? And you're bald as well. And I was like, what's going on here? Say some mean shit. Huh? And then I got to do my turn, which was fairly, just said some wee jokes. That was it. It was good crack, though. And then, because it was my party, we obviously just listened to gangster rap all night. And me and Aaron has some incriminating videos of me and him being just the whitest, you know, just the whitest cunts you could ever imagine. So after swearing not to drink, after the midweek escapades, I then got beyond blocked on Saturday night, just out of pure excitement. And sad to say, most of the ham just got devoured like a pack of wild piranhas got at it. But all in all, very enjoyable night. Shout out to girlfriend Maureen for organising all that. Respect. She said it was an absolute fucking nightmare to try and cover that up. The funniest bit I thought, in hindsight now, was how much I was dithering about this house before she was trying to get me down to the house. Like, there was people there from 7 o'clock, and we literally didn't go down over to her parents' house to about fucking, like, 20 to 10. Like, I'm fucking around to, oh, I'm just gonna do a workout here, and I'll just shave my head, and, yeah, I'm just fucking about. I might watch an episode of Fuck That's Delicious. Then I'll knock about a bit more, and then I'll see what happens. And have you seen my shoes? Oh, I bet you she was like going in the next. She did a bit of a speech at the thing, and she goes, she was trying to coordinate everyone being at the house, obviously. And she goes, I literally had to go upstairs, say to Colin that I was going for a poo. Literally, she goes, oh, I feel like I could poo, and I was like, and this is what she said at the little roast thing. She goes, Colin being Colin said, yeah, you better go take a shit, because that's how you get stomach cancer if you hold it in. well, I actually said bile cancer, so let's not get it twisted. But it was pretty funny. But it's funny that she would have to be like, yeah, I just need a shit, and it was going upstairs trying to text like Shane and Dave, like, where the fuck are you? And then trying to tell her mum, like, yeah, we're finally fucking coming down now. But I was properly shocked. It was unbelievable. Great times. Never underestimate the crack you'll have if you just go to a bar and say, can we borrow like a pump and we'll buy some booze off you? And they go, sure. It's the best thing ever. And then you get to just have your own pints, and it's not that dear, really, if you can transport the cooler thing and the gas and all that shit. Great crack altogether. And that was my big boring fucking weekend story. So there you go. Hopefully that makes a difference to me ranting about fucking LGBTQP fucking plus people that I was listening to last week for the shat on about for about half an hour. Big news this week, Pete Burns just died, which is a shocker. That's also, by the way, just to throw back, I just seen a picture of it. The cake for my birthday was of a baby picture of me, right? Who I'm not even convinced is me. Because they had another photo and I was like, that's definitely me because that looks like me. But they've got this photo where I'm like, that might not be me. I also may have a mullet in that photo. Which is very fucking bizarre. Strange. So there you have it. I haven't really noticed any other things that have been going on in the world other than just, you know, the usual fucking madness. Got some lovely things for my birthday. It's weird talking about this because I'm not one of those people who is accustomed to getting nice shit. You know, I feel weird if someone gives me presents, let alone is very, very nice to me all the time. So it was a weird one. Got a sweet watch. You know, my sister got me the old Johnny Depp fucking Beat the Wife perfume. You know, the one he's on the poster? Sauvage or something. I won't say aftershave, it's perfume, isn't it? For men. Do you want to smell like you beat your wife? That's terrible, a terrible impression, isn't it? Amber Heard, though, you would beat her with your dick. Sorry, that's just gross. Just another quick news here. If you're going to UFC Belfast, the headliner has changed. I bet you there's a lot of tickets going resale after that shit. You know, Gunnar Nelson, I imagine, would get the sort of Conor McGregor fall off or domino effect fan base because he trains at SBG sometimes. But I don't know. We'll see. Musasi Hall 2. That'll be probably a decent fight. Anyway, I'm just going to go ahead and get into some fucking... come on, unload, you piece of shit. I'll get in some questions here because we have a whole pile of them. And some of them are interesting and it'll give me something to get through the rest of this podcast, you know, guys. So here we go. Chris, Mr. Nowhere Fast. On a scale of 1 to 10, how hard would you say you are? As in toughness, not erectionness. Could you take down a horse, a monkey? Well, oh my god. Toughness can be measured in many different ways. You know, it could be like, toughness really is mental toughness. You know, I don't think it's like, just how good a fighter are you? Because, there's guys who probably train MMA who have mental toughness problems, you know? You could be very, very naturally skilled, but if you feel slightly under pressure in a fight, you're looking for a way out, or, you know, your mind defeats you before you even have a fight. You know, you could say, like, you know, some dude who fucking runs like ultra marathons. You know, that's some fucking toughness. You gotta just get your mind beyond any fucking pain that you feel. If you mean like just, can I have a fight with someone? I would say the idea of like violence in a street doesn't really appeal to me. Just because I don't want to deal with the repercussions, whatever they are. You know, either get your fuck kicked in, or you've beat the shit out of someone and, you know, what happens? Do you fucking knock them out and their head hits the floor? Or, you know, is it on CCTV or is it something? You know, I don't like all that shit. I like the sport of fighting, though. Would I be good at it? If I was in any sort of physical shape, maybe. But in general, I don't know. I don't know. Toughness. Mentally tough? Fuck no. You know what I mean? Any way out, I'm gone. See you later. I could kill a monkey. You know those wee small monkeys that you see on videos where it's like wrapped around someone's finger? I could just stamp on one of them. No bother. Apes? Maybe not. Could I take down a horse? Just with a bow, like a rifle maybe? Or maybe like a crossbow? Blow its heart out? My good friend, Bob the Pounder, slanging dick, with your 243 followers, I feel like you should be followed harder than that on Twitter. Bob the Pounder, get following. My favourite male porn star. Do you think Northern Ireland are underrepresented in the adult film world? My crew and I are in Belfast on the 7th to the 25th of November. Is it underrepresented? I think there probably isn't that much. I mean, it's almost like you see every video of some person here just like, oh my god, did you see? Especially when like smartphones were just coming in, or even fucking phones that did video. It was like, have you seen the video of that girl like fingering herself in the bogs in the fucking box or something? And then everyone had it on their phone for a second. And you're like, oh my god, that's some wild shit. But it would be funny if you could just type into like some porn thing like Northern Irish dirty sluts, and there was like just a load of people here going, what's right now? Oh my god, I love your bollocks. Put your bollocks in my face and oh my god, I love that. Oh mommy, I want two dicks in my shader. You know, that's, I mean, you're fucking talk about dick softening.
Oh my god. Tell our fucking Jared to fucking
yeah, you know the way they do all those, like, you know, this is stepsister finds guy having a wank.
Oh, mommy, I went to Nern or Jared's fucking pull the planker off himself and all his lick here. How long do I finish these two figs and I'll fucking come over and just bounce all over it so well? Oh my god, my fanny's eating the leg of me.
That's not my line, so I heard someone say that once.
My fanny's eating the leg of me.
Funny as fuck. But you know, it'd be amazing if there was more Northern Irish porn, it'd be hilarious. And if there was real money in it, you know you'd see some of your mates just like, oh, well, I just fucking, know what I mean, £100, £100. You know, get to blow the old beans and then fucking, that's it. And then try and avoid this wee girl any time we go out fucking out clubbing. But the problem is, you know, there's a lot of people in this country who are disgusting looking. You know, they always do that with countries. They're like, you know, like a four in America, whether it's a man or a woman, is a fucking 10 over here just because they're, you know, they try and take care of themselves and their teeth aren't just made out of bits of fucking flint you found at the beach. Yeah, Bob, here's what you should do. Knock up some sort of advertisement, like Porn Stars Wanted, Northern Ireland. Like, tag me in it and I'll retweet the fuck out of it. And be like, listen. Now, and all you need, you know, just pay them some money. You don't need a whole pile of money. You know, I'm sure you get some girl would take about 15 low. I mean, the Magaluf girl, you know, the most infamous dick gargler of all time. I mean, it's weird that she would do that and I'd be like, that is fucking gross. Whereas if, you know, if you were a professional about it, if you're like, we did a shoot today and I sucked 24 dicks, you're like, at least there was some sort of production and process involved there where, you know, you may have been able to slightly guarantee the cleanliness of the 24 dicks you just put in your mouth. She'd have been quicker just going in and eating that fucking blue thing that's in the pisser, you know? Just had 1,000 pisses on it and she just pops it in her mouth. At least that would have been bleaching that, probably cleaner. Anyway, I went off in one big style there. Dwayne Pipe, the creator of Lad Flag, has gone public and is now doing stand-up. Will we be seeing him in Laveries? Is he making waves? There's only so many fucking waves you can make in Northern Ireland. And I do believe the guy was doing stand-up before he outed himself. Like, it's me. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that Lad Flag thing has kind of, well, at the time, anonymously sort of trolled Mickey, telling him he's not funny. And the whole time, I was thinking, you better be bringing some fucking fire if you feel like you can slag Mickey off. You better be bringing some heat. But, you know, if you're talking waves, not that I'm the fucking have any authority on it, but I don't know. The best I heard was, yeah, I went to the guy's big show in the Mac. And then I was like, and what? And I was like, nah. People there and all. And I was like, alright. Cool. If you didn't live in Ballymena, where would you choose to live? If you don't currently live in Ballymena, ignore this. Well, Stephen, we'll move on. Sean Carroll, how much money from the ticket sales of the Ulster Hall do you actually get out of interest? Big money maker? Of course not. If it was a big money, if I wanted money, which I probably should have done, I should have done it myself. Of course it's not a money maker. It's like, I mean, it will make some money, but it's the splits and the promo and the posters and the flyers and the fucking insurance, the public liability, the fucking the promoted, all that shit. You know, the door split, the tax, the da da da, all that shit. Bang, bang, bang. And then what you're left with, you divide by six. No, it's not a moneymaker, look. It will make some money, but it's not like all the effort of selling it is going to be worth what we're going to get at the fucking end. It's more of just an event, to be honest, Sean. Good lad. Does the Twitter account RUC Diary make fun of our troubled past, in your opinion?
I think we shouldn't laugh at the troubles. Is this one of these ones where it's like, it's actually your page or something? RUC die, I'm not going to click on it. Colin Old Sport, what memories do you have of the army on the streets of Belfast? None, mate. None at all. Bob the Pounder for president, says Matty Jasek. Sure. David Tittenser, is that your real name? Toilet paper up and over or down and under? Up and over, I don't understand that. Up and over, do you mean like as you're wrapping it around your fucking hand or something? I don't know what you mean by that, mate. You're going to have to maybe take some pictures. By the way, someone sent me a fucking Snapchat the other day. I mean, there's pros and cons to leaving your snaps open and you see things, but like, so I clicked on it and it's some dude just standing upright having like an absolute chocolate fountain of a shit. Like he's standing on his feet, shitting out the way, some real squishy shit down the toilet. It was just fucking, just unnecessary, you know. You don't know what you're getting into. There's no preview. You're like, what's this going to be? Click. Oh, great. Great. A man's anus shitting and his bag hanging down there. That's what I wanted. Tina. On a scale of 1 to shitting your pants, how nervous, excited are you for the Ulster Hall? I think it'll be good. Yeah, it'll be good. I'm excited. I'm not scared, really. I'll probably, you know, about 10 minutes before I go on, get a bit like, whoo, fuck, here we go. But I'm not that scared. I feel alright about it. It's only a short gig, like, when it all comes down to it. I'll be more tied up with speaking to the fucking cameraman and then speaking to, you know, the people who maybe want to shoot backstage. I'll be trying to coordinate that so that I can make some sort of packaged film after it for everyone to watch who couldn't make it. You know, probably sorting out fucking people wanting, family members wanting on the fucking door, all that stupid shit. So it'll probably be highly fucking stressful, and then I'll just do 10 minutes of stand-up, and then, well, not 10 minutes, I don't know how much I'm doing. 15, 20, I don't know. And then we're off. So it'll be a fun night, and it'll be very short-lived. It'll just be like, boom, and then you're left with a pile of stuff that you have to make a film from. The Maxilla. Do you think Northern Ireland should go independent from the UK and Republic, and maybe Republic of Northern Ireland? Yeah. I would love that. That'd be great. I've always said the Northern Ireland has almost become its own place now. But then, you know, I'll probably get kneecapped for saying that. Aaron Lynn, what happened to discussing? I fired you a wee question about fat people and beards. Tell you what, mate. Upload beer. Beard, sorry. I looked at the word beer when I wrote that. Discussing. Okay. Do you know what, mate? There is literally fucking 10 of them waiting to be uploaded, and I just keep forgetting about it. Or, I'll tell you what I might do today. I might just upload them all to YouTube, and then I'll put them all on Facebook in various places. How about that? There is a beard one. It's funny. Yeah, I'll put it up. Should be up at least by the end of Tuesday, depending on when you listen to this. Sorry about that, Aaron. How long do you think you would last on SAS? Who Dares Wins? Until I get hungry. I wouldn't last on that at all. I mean, I actually made a joke last night when I was watching it, because they were making them fight each other, and they're wearing big fucking like 16-ounce gloves or something, and like a big fucking headgear, and they got to box each other, and I can't really box at all, but I was saying, like, I would find that quite fun. I'd be like, yeah, let's get our fucking scrap on, lads. I did say scrap there and not strap on, but I'd be like, yeah, let's have a fucking fight, this is gonna be great banter. And then I feel like, you know, just have a wee scrap, you know, punch each other. No one's really going to get that hurt with the gloves and the headgear. you know, beat each other up and then had this game where you had to fucking wrestle each other. And I'd be like, I'd be loving that. I love we grapple, you know, throwing boys about and grabbing each other's necks and all. And then if they went, right, we're going to go for a run, I'd be like, get the fuck out of my face. Huh? Run? Do you know how hot it is in this jungle? My ball bag is just like two fucking soapy squids mashing against my leg here. Fuck, you want me to run? I'll beat the shit out of this wee Indian fella. No sweat. Don't worry about it. Let's wrestle. Let's wrestle over this fucking coconut. I'll choke you out. Bitch. Carry this log up the hill. Fuck. Right off. Okay? Not doing that stupid shit. And then, at the end of it, you're like, hey, go in and kill the pile of people. Nah, I'm alright, man. I'm alright. Can I just get in so I can tell people I'm in the SAS and then really not do anything at all? Fascinating program, though. I do like it. Expecting anyone in the audience dressed up in costumes on Saturday night? Yeah, hopefully the more the better. I think that would be great. Anyone ever shocked you, be it a famous person, stranger, fan, in either a good or bad way? Also, Ashers, what's Gary Henderson's opinion? Anyone ever shocked you, be it a famous person, stranger, fan? I don't know. I'm not sure what you mean by that, Chris. As far as I know, did I just send you t-shirts, by the way? Did I? Chris McMahon, I mean. Anyone ever shocked you? I don't really know what you mean by that. Have I ever been shocked by a person when I seen them or something? I saw Sean Bean one time. In 10 Square or whatever the fuck it's called. In Belfast. Which is obviously when he was filming the first Game of Thrones, which was years ago. Have anyone ever shocked you, be it a famous person? I don't know. I'm not sure what you mean by that, Chris, to be honest with you. Shocked? Not really. I mean, you do get the odd fucking lunatic who thinks they're being funny and they overshare and you don't know them at all and you're like, alright, bro, alright. Don't need to tell us about the time you fucking, you and your mates, you know, gangbanged a fucking ladyboy one time. Don't need to hear about it. Anyone ever shocked you? Oh, it's the same question. Also, Ashers, what's Gary Henderson's opinion? Well, what happened to Ashers again? Because I never really fucking read about it. I know I seen the guy in the paper. Last time I seen those two, I was like, isn't it unfortunate that his girl would just get absolutely rimmed? But I don't know, on reflection, if I agree with what I said there. Ashers. All right, let's just see what comes up. What did I have recently that was an Ashers? A muffin. I bought Ashers muffins. English muffins. Beaut. Right, here we go. Here we go. Gay cake appeal, Christian Bakers. If someone doesn't have a band called the Christian Bakers, they lose appeal. Owners of a Northern Ireland bakery have lost their appeal against a ruling that their refusal to make a gay cake was discriminatory. Appeal court judges that under law, bakers were not allowed to provide a service only to people who agreed with their religious beliefs. Is this the old conscience thing? 2 years ago, the family-run firm refused to make a cake iced with the slogan, support gay marriage. The order was placed at its Belfast shop by gay rights activist Gareth Lee. Timeline, reaction to gay cake. The firm argued the cake's message was against the baker's religious views. Reacting to the ruling, Daniel MacArthur from Ashers said he was extremely disappointed, adding that it undermined democratic freedom, religious freedom and free speech. If equality law means it can be punished for politely refusing to support other people's causes, then equality law needs to change, he said. We had served Mr. Lee before and we would be happy to serve him again. The judges accepted that we did not know that Mr. Lee was gay and that he was not the reason we declined the order. We have always said it's not about the customer, it's about the message. In court of money, three judges said it did not follow that icing a message meant you supported the message. The fact the baker provides a cake for a particular team or portrays witches on a Halloween cake does not indicate any support for either. That's true. Support heterosexual marriage or indeed support marriage. The judges also said that Ashers would not have objected to a cake carrying the message support heterosexual marriage or indeed support marriage. We accept that It was the use of the word gay in the context of the message which prevented the order from being fulfilled. I mean, case was taken by gay rights activist Gareth Lee with a right wee smug look on his face there. I mean, talk about fucking just making a mountain out of a molehill. Like, hold on, do we hear this video here? If it'll play, probably won't fucking play now that I'm down the other end of the bastard house.
Really not feeling bad
today. Extremely disappointed with today's ruling. If equality law means people can be punished for politely refusing to support other people's causes, then equality law needs to change. This ruling undermines democratic freedom, it undermines religious freedom, and it undermines free speech. We had served Mr. Lee before, and we'd be happy to serve him again. The judges accepted that we did not know Mr. Lee was gay, and that he was not the reason we declined the order. We have always said it. It was never about the customer, it was about the message.
The only thing that I would like to say is that I'm relieved, but also very grateful to the Court of Appeal for the judgment, which I welcome, obviously. That's it. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
The message that goes out today is that people should be free to be able to go in and access services without having to run somewhere with lottery to know whether or not my belief conflicts with those. There is a debate to be had with the faith communities to find out how we negotiate this minefield, and we're up for that, and we've already begun that process some years ago.
Could you be fucked? Like, could you be absolutely fucked with any of that shit? That guy sounds like he's from Ballyclare, by the way, where I went to school. It's, do you know what it is? It's just kind of embarrassing, you know? I actually kind of get both sides of the argument. You know, if he wants to be like, this is what we do, and we don't want to support gay marriage, then whatever. And if the guy getting the cake made thinks he's a ball bag, which he obviously does, then that's fair enough too, you know? What can you do? Move on. On the other hand, it's like, just make the fucking cake, make a fucking cake. You putting the word gay on a cake doesn't mean it's moved the gay rights fucking thing down the road any further, because it's still illegal to get married here, which I think is fucking ridiculous, because, you know, what does it really mean anyway? You know, if you're gonna spare, I mean, even for the legal side of it, it's like, you know, can you not get married? Just, you know, if you're with someone for fucking 15 years and you want to get married because you're going to spend the rest of your life with them, and, you know, maybe you have assets that you'd like them to have because you've shared your fucking life with them or so. I don't know what the fucking crack is, but, you know, is this the thing to be chasing down if you're the gay rights activist fella? You know, I just welcome that decision that bloody blah, that, you know what I mean? It's a cake, mate. It's a cake. So I understand that it is a bit ridiculous that happened, you know, but what can you do? You know, that is it as bad as there's some photo of a guy, I don't really even fucking know him, but blood coming down his head, like, oh, I was hit because I was gay. You know, also tell the police, don't tell Facebook, but, you know, is the cake worse than that? Not really. I mean, it makes more sense to me that you asked a fucking religious company, like, that were known to be a load of stuffy fucking Christians, to make you a cake that said gay on it, and they went, no thanks. That actually kind of makes sense to me. They're like, oh, well, we asked Ashers, but sure, they're a load of fucking Bible bashers, so that, of course, they said no. You know? That would make more sense to me, that they wouldn't do that, even though it's fucking weird and pointless, but maybe you have a different, like, you maybe use this stage instead of having, like, a wee fucking personal win, like, yes, I enjoy the cake and all. Oh, Colin, you're doing a gay voice? Yeah, fucking deal with it. Probably one of the best people in the country. I do the camp voice better than anybody. Maybe you should just use that fucking publicity to be like, maybe we should stop the recent spate of homosexual attacks on people. Who knows? Fucking terrible, isn't it? In fact, that guy's accent, if camped up, would pretty much be Gary Henderson. You know? We have served Mr. Lee in the past, and I would definitely serve him again. And what I would serve him with is a platter of dick skin in his mouth. Right, let's do some questions from Facebook. I mean, the whole thing's embarrassing. I don't feel like it's a major fucking leap forward for gay rights at all. It was just like, oh, someone had an issue with the gay cake. That's it. That's what it's called, the gay cake. We're an RN. Let's get through these other 20 questions. Gay cake, guys. Not the gay issue to be chasing up, I would say. With a load of people who are notoriously homophobic, so who gives a flying fuck? Stop buying their muffins, Colin. All right. Have you ever been on public transport and someone in front has smelt like 3-year-old urine? I've been on buses and trains and I've smelt like three-year-old piss. Robert Jones. Yeah, we've all done that. I mean, the worst one is just the giant fat person that smells like piss and shit and sweat all mixed. And that's me saying that, who is a fat shit. Barry Wright, Musasi versus Hall in Belfast. That was the UFC news we had a wee minute ago. Proper headliner now. Oh, you seem to think, well, you're right, like, there probably will be a better fight. But yeah, it'll be exciting. I honestly think, to be honest with you, that it'll affect the tickets. I think you'll see a lot of tickets on Gumtree. I'm not going either way. I can be fucked. But you ever thought about competing in a BJJ tournament? I have thought about it, but I mean, it's not something that's... It's sort of not really why I started doing it again. You know, I don't really feel like I need... The way I do... Like, there's a lot of guys get into BJJ and they quit everything and it becomes their fucking main focus and they go travel around, do competitions. That's not really, you know, people treat it however they want to treat it. The way I treat it is, I just like doing it. I like practicing it. I like getting better. It's great exercise and it's great sort of like meditation in a weird way, because you can't really think about many other things while someone's hanging off your throat. So I just treat it like that. You know, that my actual want to compete in it isn't really there, to be honest. I also don't want to be by the blender at a fucking grappling competition in fucking Antrim somewhere. I'd rather just do it as a pastime, get gradually better at it. You know, that's about it, really. I mean, also, you need quite a bit of time to sort of half train for these things. I don't think you can just chuck yourself in and get murdered.
But you can.
Plenty of people do. Do you listen or watch the Joe Rogan podcast? If so, what do you think of him? Glenn Burton, have you ever heard of Colin Geddes? He has written under it. Yeah, do you listen to it all the time, mate? What do I think of him? Do you know what? It's weird because primarily I suppose he's a comedian, but he would definitely be one of my sort of inspiration in life. You know, is he the funniest fucking comedian in the world? Probably not. But I like the way he handles his fucking life, basically. He's got a podcast, commentates on the UFC, not as much as he used to. Does stand up, you know what I mean? It's like everything he fucking does is fun and it makes him millions of dollars. So he's a good business model for me, someone who's trying to do something similar. But yeah, big fan. I watched his latest special there, some good shit in it. It's a bit about equality and stuff. And the guy breaking in the White House was very funny. I did laugh at that. He made good points, which is one of those things I've tried to articulate over the years, where it's like, equality is all well and good, but his point was, there is no physical equality in nature. He goes, even in real life, he's like, that's why there's the Olympics, because people do things better than other people. And then he made the point, like, He goes, I'm not slagging women at all. I'm just making a point. He goes, my favourite people in the world are all female. My wife, my three daughters. But I would beat the shit out of all of them. I don't know. It was a good point. And then he was saying, like, you know, should they have had a woman guarding the White House the day the guy just ran up the lawn and got in? And he goes, they probably shouldn't have. And he goes, and I'm not saying that I could do it better. He goes, I couldn't do it either because people aren't the same. He goes, I met Shaq and his dick was where my face was. They're like, yeah, he's right. Like, you know, you got to be suitable for the job. You can't, it can't just be, oh, everyone's the same. And you're like, no. I keep going back to the one time I was just standing beside these two cops in Derry, actually, in KFC, behind these two policemen. And I was like, I would beat the fuck out of you with him. I would pick him up by the feet and just swing him around and club you to death. And you couldn't do anything. You know? 5'5", fucking 9 stone, little soft-handed man. I was like, what the fuck's going on here? Just pick you both up by the neck and walk you in the back and plunge your heads into the deep fat fryers. And your feet wouldn't touch the ground. You know, have some fucking cops that can actually do some shit. I mean, I saw a video of a cop in America, you know, one that wasn't shooting a black guy, but it was this big fucking guy, and he was giving CPR to a wee boy who wasn't breathing, and the wee boy started breathing again, and then he got this photo. And I was like, that's a cop there, see that? Got his fucking first aid skills. You know, reasonable, smart, but he's also about 6'4", looked like he played American football, in good shape. Like, that's a fucking cop, you know what I'm saying? Bring a kid back to life, turn around, chase a guy down, flatten him. Also, guys, learn some grappling, because if I see in one more video people trying to, like, restrain a guy, just flailing about the floor, they get him right down on his belly, and then he gets right back up again. You're like, what the fuck's going on here, guys? So let's par through these. You up to much this Saturday? That's Pete McAllister. Yeah, I think it'll be one of the most stressful days of my life, mate. Do yous get badass green room? Do yous get a badass green room with the complimentary bitches in the Ulster Hall? And that's from Ronan McCann. No, I don't think it'll be half as glamorous as you think. I think it'll be a room of people having fucking panic attacks about having to go out and do a big gig. And a fight for a shit in the toilet. That's what I think it'll be. No, it'll be really boring. And then we'll just go out afterwards. Marty Goodall, would you ever do an animated project? Marty Goodall. Well, yeah, I mean, if someone else wanted to do the animation, yeah, certainly. Because I'm certainly not fucking doing it, having had very limited sort of experience with it. I feel like I couldn't be holed. But if someone else wanted to, like, take a bit out of this podcast, for example, and, you know, make a very rudimentary animation, I would love that. I would share the shit out of that. But I'm not going to do it myself because it takes fucking forever. Farting during sex, funny moment, or boner killer? James T. Kirk. It depends who's farting, you know? If the person you're banging farts. I mean, it would take, like, I don't know, you'd probably need to shit yourself for me to take a back step. Best movie of all time, Blues Brothers for me, and that's from Lewis Coulter. I haven't even seen Blues Brothers, embarrassingly enough. Best movie of all time or favourite movie of all time? My favourite movie ever is Swingers. Don't know why, just like it. Would you suck a bloke off ejaculation to the face, in brackets, full Japanese bukkake vibe, to get live at the Apollo game show chat show famous? If I really wanted any of those three things, maybe, but I don't really want any of those things, so definitely not. And I don't know if you've seen a bukkake, but you need about 20 Japanese dudes loading in your face. Nah, I wouldn't do it. I'm not really interested in any of those things. Live the Apollo game show chat show. Chat show famous. Nah, I'm alright, mate. Cheers, Liam. Not really interested. What the fuck would I do with a game show? Hey, it's Colin. Welcome back to Whose Dick Is This? And then we just play a round of, like, just silhouettes of famous dicks. Who is it? It's Bob the Pounder. Come on down. To play us off this week, play us out this week, Bob the Pounder is gonna smash this girl's pie in to the sound of Darude Sandstorm. Take it away. Is that even Sandstorm? Whatever. Alright, let's get through these. Ever consider doing a roast for each member of the General Banter team? And not of the spit variety, spit roast? Yeah, well, we sort of did one for my birthday there, which... I'll be honest, I wish, you know, they could have spent a bit more time in the joke writing, guys, you know. It wasn't that offensive. Favourite Tyrone drinking spot? Fucking in the house, mate. I hate going to any of these pubs. I want to go to fucking Belfast every time I want to have a drink. Would you rather shit yourself once a week or piss your pants every other day? I think piss my pants every other day, but hopefully it happened at like I wake up in the morning and then I piss my pants and then I get straight in the shower is what I would like. Lewis McLean, how do you feel about being in the 30 as fuck club? Whatever, not that different, like, feel alright. I don't mind getting older because I feel like I'm getting better at a lot of things, so that's fine. I don't really give a fuck, to be honest. Any travelling plans for 2017? Not in stone, but I would like to go to Amsterdam. Because there was talk of going before Christmas, but I don't think it's going to happen, so I'd like to go after. I also really just need to go to America, because I haven't been ever. You know, go to New York, see what the crack is. Just moved to San Francisco area and don't really know anyone yet. Do you fancy coming over and going out on the lash? And that's Richard Ashfield. Well, there you go. There's the America fucking thing sorted. Yeah, I'll be over in a minute, Richard. Did I say Ashcroft or Ashfield there? Fair play. Well, just go and join some clubs, mate, and then you'll get some buddies. I'll tell you how you get mates. Go to a jiu-jitsu class. Or in San Francisco. I don't know what the fuck you do in San Francisco. Smoke weed and pretend you're gay. Best meat for a roast dinner, says how do you say that? Dina? Is that how you say your name? Dina? It's not Deanna, is it? Dina? Deanna? It's either Dina or Deanna. Best meat for a roast dinner. We went out for dinner yesterday and a lot of other... I got this chicken supreme thing and a lot of other people got stuffed roast pork and it looked fucking tremendous. Chicken's fucking dog shit. It's not really. It's just boring, isn't it? Beef is hard to get right. I've never really attempted it properly. But if you get a good roast beef, it's really good. Pork, what other things do you roast? Ducks. I would say pork. If you could get some sort of stuffed pork, that's the shit. Just like a pork, oh, I know what it is. Like a pork fillet stuffed with stuffing and then wrapped in bacon. That's what you want. Fuck all this chicken shit. These were a lot of questions, guys. Let's pick up the pace. Edward Dawson, worst thing witnessed on a rugby field. I've talked about this before, but a guy who could barely see without his glasses, played centre for our school team, ran, ducked under two tackles, and the two boys collided heads. One guy was unconscious, bleeding out of his head, and the other guy's teeth were broken in a complete arc from one side of his mouth to the other, just right up to the stump of the gum and then down. Obviously, we're fucking hit this guy's head. And famous line was, don't worry, his dad's a doctor or a dentist. Do the doors open at 8 on Saturday or does the show start then? And that's Benny McCusker. How security, bottle of Buckfast in the jacket pocket. I'm sure it will be. You're not getting patted down like. The doors open at 7:30, so I would suggest you queue up a wee bit earlier than 7:30 if you want to get to the bar or anything. Obviously not if you have a carry out. But yeah, the show's supposed to start at 8:00. Best place for drinks after the gig. Ever eat and do the craft beer testing in the Woodworkers. Me and the woman are heading up to the Ulster Hall. Looking forward to it. Haven't had a chance to ever see any of you guys gig before. And that's from Alan Taylor. I very much like the Woodworkers, to be honest with you. It's beside Lavery's, in case you're looking to go. It's part of Lavery's, in fact. Chance to ever see... Oh, what the fuck was the question? Huh? Best place for drinks. We probably more than likely will go to... Probably will go to Lavery's, unless we go to that new 5 points place, we'll see. Do you listen to No Jumper podcast? If yes, what do you think of it? I haven't listened to it, Brian McGuire, but I'll check it out. Also, recommend me some good comedy-based podcasts. This is the ones I listen to, you ready? I do listen to the Joe Rogan Experience. I listen to the Fighter and the Kid podcast. I listen to Bill Burr's one the odd time. I listen to fucking Your Mum's House podcast with Tom Segura. That might be the funniest one. I listen to Legion of Skanks the odd time, which is Big J Okerson. They're all American ones. I listen to Mark Maron the odd time. Just the big ones, you know. Nothing weird. Nothing weird at all. But any of those, I'm sure, are decent. Let's rattle through these. Give us your best Pete Burns joke. I don't really have one, to be honest. I used to know a guy who was actually called Pete Burns. So that's funny, isn't it? I mean, kind of sad with that guy, because, you know, what the fuck was he doing to his face that whole time? No one who's fucking normal or happy does that shit to their face. And I mean, what, did he die of a heart attack or something? But like, you know, it couldn't do much good for your health just being constantly in recovery. You know, if you were just getting that shit done to your face every time you felt like it, I'll get this done. You know, I'm recovering from it and taking pain pills. Oh, I'm healed. I'll get this done. I'm taking pain. You know, you just fucking non-stop circle of fucking with your face. And just does not... Oh my God. It's not good for your body. There he is walking down the street smoking a fag. Big old woman face. Oh man. Rough, isn't it? Rough shit. Oof. Oh fuck. Oh, see, I see how anybody can get anything done to their lips. It makes me want to fucking... My asshole nearly fucking chews itself off with cringe. I saw a girl getting like Botox. I talked about this last week maybe, and she was hot as fuck too. I was like, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that right now? Oh my God. Gross. But this guy was just bang, 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 just stabbing across her lip. And I was like, that just looks like fucking murder. Just fucking horrendous. And then there's a picture of Pete Burns there. He's obviously had something horrendous happen to his lips. And then they've stitched it up again. Like a line of stitches across the lip. Which just makes my taint fucking shiver. So gross. So gross. But that's what happens. I feel like it's a strange place to wander into. Because once you start, it's probably hard to stop. As Bill Burr said, you don't just polish the fucking bumper of your car, like, because it's going to look better than all the rest. But even girlfriend Maureen was like, oh, I might get Botox in my head. And I was like, why? And she goes, just because I have that bitchy resting face. And I was like, let me tell you something. No one fucking in the world noticed that your face is like that, other than you. You know, people start to get all picky with their faces. Oh, there's a line there. So... You have a wee line, no one notices. You have a big fucking shiny head. People start to go, she's got a big fucking shiny head. You know, instead of just having your natural face. Fuck's sake, sort your lives out, women. If you had to have one job in the emergency services, medical, ambulance guy, policeman, fireman, what would you go for and why? Why not the others? I suppose the initial thing would be like, wouldn't it be great to be a fireman? Because it seems like really good crack. You know, they're all having a laugh and cooking for each other and all that shit. Great camaraderie. You probably deal with the least assholes, but then you also probably deal with, like, the odd time you really do have to just bring, like, a fucking child out of a building that's been burnt alive. So, I would say, for the most part, it's probably the best crack. It's very dangerous. But then you probably do see some really horrific shit. If you're a policeman, you know, you're dealing with just wankers all day. You know, ambulance people, I feel like initially that would be stressful as fuck. I'm sure you get used to all sorts of jobs, like, but I'm just trying to deal with who deals with the least shit. I mean, watching those 24-hour and A&E things would give you a fucking panic attacks just watching it, you know, just waiting around, who's coming in, oh, what have we got, let's try and fucking piece this person back together, type of shit would be so stressful. Ambulance driver might be a good one, you know, turn up, give initial fucking, but then what do you see, you know, oh, there's been a horrendous crash, you turn up first, it's a fucking mess. I don't know, salute them all, really, because none of them are fucking easy, to be honest. You know, any hospital fucking job these days must just be a nightmare. Underfunded, understaffed, under fucking everything. I've been to hospital in the last few years just for, you know, injuries and stuff, and you walk in and you're like, it looks like the hospital shut in 1985 and they just opened it for me there now. You know, it's like, why is that taking a hit of all the financial shit? It's nuts. I would probably say fireman. And that's Sean McNeil. Adam Blair, what do you miss most about school? And do you not miss at all? Hope you're well. Adam Blair there, who was a year older than me at school. And then, I don't think I've seen him for fucking years. And then he was living in Edinburgh when we were at the Fringe. And he came to the show like fucking 2-3 times. Never forget. Respect. What did I miss about school? Nothing, really. Like, I had a pretty good time at school, but I don't really miss that much. Probably rugby, you know? And they always say, like, some of the highest quality rugby you'll play is at school. Because I noticed that. I went to school, played rugby with Adam, and then they left because they're a year older. But it was high level, you know, you were training all the time, playing rugby all the time. And then I went to uni where I tried to play some rugby, and I was like, look at these fucking idiots. You know, they were just grabbing any old dickhead they could find to play this match on a Saturday, and it was just a mess. No one was training, everyone was fucking pished the whole time. So, yeah, if I miss anything, it's probably that. It was also quite funny. Like, I thought school was funny, you know. You would get hyped up about who was going to fucking be the funniest at lunchtime while you're all just standing around talking shit. That's about it, really. I don't miss much, but I also didn't really think it was that terrible while I was there. Brandy Poland, why are you thinking of quitting stand-up? Also, please don't. You're the funniest person we have in this shithole of a city. Burn to all the other assholes doing stand-up. I don't know. I just think, you know, I like creative freedom. And sometimes what seemed like it was the most creatively free isn't really. I don't know. Maybe I just need to do more of it in other places. That's probably what's holding me back. Or do I evolve a live show to the point where it's incorporates a bit more of everything that I do, maybe. But then I'll do a gig the odd time and I'm like, oh, I really like stand-up. So it's hard to know. Mick Higney. Last question. What about you? Happy birthday. It's not till tomorrow, guys, but thanks. What's the best thing about being 30? What will you miss? What did you achieve that you had hoped to while you're 30? Wish I could be at the gig in the Ulster Hall. Smash the absolute ballocks clean out of it, will you? I'll do my best, mate. Well, it's like anything, you don't really... It's not like you turn 30 and anything happens. However, I did hear... It was actually Bill Burr. I heard say this. He's like, you spend your 20s trying to figure something out. Trying to figure out what you want to do. And then you spend your 30s doing it. And then by the time you're like 40 is when everything is kind of in place. And you're making decent money and everything's kind of settled a wee bit. So that's actually how I feel like I'm getting on. I sort of feel now... What I want to do is produce videos and content for people and maybe every once in a while take on another project. Like, you know, I talked with Shane Todd about making a feature-length mock doc and I was like, and I said, realistically, if you did a script and you broke it down into, say you wanted it to be 80 minutes long, you could film 10 minutes a week for 8 weeks. And that would essentially be all your stuff shot. Now, obviously, you would overshoot. You would shoot more than you need. But if you really got your scenes down and your storyline, I was like, that's all it would really take, you know, to make a fucking... You know, watch Mascots on Netflix there. The new Christopher Guest mock doc. Not much to that shit, like. I feel like I could write a funnier mock doc than that. But, you know... I feel like I'm alright right now. Just iron the creases out of what I'm doing at the minute. Get it running a bit smoother. And then figure out what to do after that. So I feel like I'm doing alright. I don't mind getting older as long as I'm getting better at something. Because if someone was like, wouldn't you die to be 21 again? I'd be like, definitely not, mate. Being a fucking idiot. So yeah, that's about it. Birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, me. In fact, I'm pretty sure I have to shoot a video with fucking Aaron McCann tomorrow, so that'll be a good laugh. But that's about it, guys. These podcasts seem to be getting longer every time. All I can say is get yourselves a fucking Ulster Hall ticket if you're thinking of going, because, like I said, there's less than 200 left. And as soon as those 200 go, the place will be packed and you'll not get one. So that's about it, guys. Cheers for listening. Do all the usual shit. Follow me on Snapchat. Follow me on Instagram. Get a ticket for the Ulster Hall. Sign up to beer52.com, you know. Use the code BANTER10. Get a tenner off your first box of beer. That's about it. That's about it, really. ColinGeddes.com. Gonna fuck with the site today. Change it up. There's obviously been stock problems. People have ordered fucking beanies, which we haven't even had in stock for quite some time. What I might do is, I might think of something to release for Christmas. A bit of merch. Might do more beanies. I would love to do a camouflage t-shirt with just like a wee General Banter box logo on the tit. Something that looked like a cool t-shirt, but wasn't like a big over the top, like General Banter, fucking the whole size of your tits. But I'll have a think about it, you know. Mug, maybe a mug. You know, people use mugs all the time. We'll figure it out. And that's about it, really. Get your tickets for the Ulster Hall, and I shall speak to yous next week, sure, all right? And take it easy. Happy birthday to me. Bye.